Welcome to a new spine-chilling episode of The Horror Report, where nightmares creep into reality and every shadow whispers a story. I'm your guide through the unsettling and uncharted corners of the paranormal. Today, we're opening the creaking doors to a place etched in infamy, the enigmatic Stanley Hotel. Nestled in the hauntingly beautiful Rocky Mountains of Colorado, this grandiose old hotel has been standing proud since the early 20th century, overlooking the stunning vistas of Estes Park. But fuck, don't let that architectural elegance and natural beauty fool you. There's something eerie in the air here, a chilling vibe that seeps from the very walls of this historic establishment. Now, for horror aficionados, the name, Stanley Hotel, may ring a disturbingly familiar bell. That's right, this is the fucking place that inspired the master of contemporary horror, Stephen King, to pen his greatest masterpiece, The Shining. You know the story, the one with the creepy twins, the rivers of blood, and that axe-wielding lunatic. Holy shit, this is where it all began. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's a tale for later on. Right now, let's focus on the Stanley itself. With its labyrinthine corridors and seemingly endless rooms, guests have reported otherworldly encounters that make your skin crawl. Disembodied voices echo down the halls, grand pianos play without a pianist, and let's not even talk about the goddamn children laughing in the dead of night. They say some guests checked in but never really checked out, if you catch my drift. It's no fucking secret why our macabre journey has led us here. Every whisper of the past, every specter that roams these rooms, every cold touch from unseen hands whispers a story waiting to be told. And over the course of this episode, you're going to hear them all. The faint-hearted may want to sleep with the lights on tonight. Shit, I might just do that myself. So, friends, fiends, and ghost chasers, prepare yourselves. We're about to unravel the twisted tales, explore the bloody fingerprints left on both history and fiction, and of course, uncover the dark thrills that the Stanley Hotel has to offer. Maybe you'll be a skeptic, or perhaps you'll become a believer. Either way, motherfuck, this is one hell of a horror ride you won't forget. Get ready to meet the shadow inhabitants and learn the true extent of the Stanley's sinister charm. Is it all just legend? Are the walls really holding more than just secrets? And how does a simple mountain getaway become the setting for a horror phenomenon? Stay with us, and we'll find out together. So, tune in, turn on, and brace yourself for a trip through the twisted halls of the Stanley Hotel. Whether you're in it for the thrills, the chills, or just to hear about how one man's night of nightmares turned into a cultural phenomenon, you're in the right fucking place. Welcome to The Horror Report, and remember, once you've checked in, you may never leave. Ladies and gentlemen, horror aficionados, and all you thrill seekers out there craving a taste of the supernatural, buckle the fuck up. Today, we're diving headfirst into the dark heart of one of America's most enigmatic hotels, where the walls whisper with secrets, and the past clings to the present like a stubborn specter. We're talking about the Stanley Hotel, nestled like a grand monarch in the majestic Rockies of Colorado, in Estes Park, a place so magnificent it'll make you say, holy shit, just standing in its shadow. What kind of badass builds a hotel that becomes the goddamn blueprint for horror? That's Freelan Oscar Stanley for you. This motherfucker rolled up in Estes Park back in 1909, threw his money around, and pop, the Stanley Hotel was born, a Neo-Georgian marvel that reeked of opulence from every brick. This guy didn't fuck around. He wanted luxury, and he damn well got it, with a sprawling estate that boasted views that'd make you cream your jeans. But let's not bullshit here. While the hotel was opulent as fuck with its grand staircase, manicured gardens, and those sexy panoramic views of the Rocky Mountains, it wasn't just the living who were soaking up the high life. Some say that from the very beginning, there were signs, little fucked up things that told you, hey, this place is more than just a fancy-ass retreat. Guests whispering about chilly spots, one room colder than a witch's tit, and goddamn echoes in the hallways when not a soul was around. The Stanley didn't exactly hurt for guests, that's for sure. With guys like Theodore Roosevelt, a president who didn't take any shit, striding through its halls, the place garnered a representative for attracting the rich and the famous. Hell, the creme de la creme of society was dancing in the ballroom, clinking glasses, unaware or maybe just unbothered by the fact that they might have been rubbing metaphysical elbows with some spooky ass shit from the other side. Imagine being a guest at a joint like this, nestled in the lap of luxury, only to hear the tickling ivories of a piano playing with no motherfucker at the bench. Or maybe you're strolling down the hallway, and you catch a scent of perfume, heavy enough to make your head spin, with no prissy dame in sight. That's right, busters, from the get-go, the Stanley Hotel had, haunted, written all over it. And it wasn't just these phantom thrills that made heads turn. For those who like to tango with the paranormal, the Stanley was their dance floor. Rumors swirled like cigarette smoke in a noir film, shadows flitting in mirrors, laughter tinkling when the room was as quiet as a grave. They said it was like the hotel was playing a game, trying to see who'd have the balls to stay the night. Look, maybe this shit sounds like a campfire tale designed to make you piss your pants, but facts are facts. These stories stuck around like a bad rash. Staff would swap tales of ghostly figures watching their every move as they fluffed pillows and polished the silver. Some of these yarns were enough to make even the toughest bellboy want to say, fuck this, and bolt. So when you've got a majestic beast like the Stanley, dripping in spectral elegance, it's no surprise that it lured a king among writers. Yup, you guessed it, the one and only Stephen King. But we'll get to that crazy motherfucker's story soon. And just like any good ghost story, each layer of the Stanley's haunted heritage was added over time, like a painter throwing down thick swatches of darkness and dread onto a canvas of history. Folks just couldn't resist the lure. They craved the chill, the rush of something unseen breathing down their neck, the tug of curious fingers through their hair when they were all alone. Man, isn't this some spine-tingling stuff? Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, you can't deny there's something delightfully addictive about the unknown, the unseen, the goddamn bizarre. As the stories folded into the fabric of the hotel, the Stanley wove itself an everlasting cloak of intrigue, a garment fit for a king of horror. So, there you have it, the haunted as hell prelude to the shit we're about to unload on you. In the next segment, when I tell you how Stephen King's shit your pants nightmare turned this place into an icon, be ready to sleep with the lights on. It's gonna be a hell of a ride. Ladies and gentlemen, horror aficionados, and King's loyal subjects, buckle the fuck up because we're about to dive deep into one of the creepiest catalysts for nightmare fuel ever to grace the page and screen. It was in the Stanley Hotel, perched like a grand dame amongst the Colorado Rockies, that horror maestro Stephen King conjured up the nightmare that would become The Shining. Our story kicks off in 1974. King, already cutting his teeth on the horror genre, was seeking a muse as relentless and haunting as the tales he spun. By some divine providence or devilish luck, he checked into the Stanley Hotel, a decision that would forever etch the hotel's name in the annals of horror history. Secluded and eerily quiet, the hotel was almost fucking ghostly, with hallways that echoed with the whispers of the past. It was on the brink of closing for the winter season, instilling an immediate sense of isolation as vast as the mountainous terrain that surrounded it. Room 217, with its innocuous number, might not have seemed like the den of the damned, but it was here that King's sleep was wrenched from him by a nightmare so vivid and visceral that it clawed its way out of his dreams and onto the page. He dreamt of his three-year-old son screaming, terrorized by a fire hose, twisted into a sneering, malevolent form. It was this haunting image that planted the seed for what would become the Overlook Hotel in King's novel. Awaking in a cold sweat, he stepped out onto the balcony, lit a cigarette, and gazed out at the sprawling darkness of the Rockies. The hotel's silence, its eerie magnitude, the shit tingled down his spine. It was in this shroud of quiet foreboding that King envisioned a man, isolated and slowly spiraling into madness, corrupted by the malevolent spirit of the Overlook. The Stanley's fingerprints are smeared all over King's depiction of horror in The Shining. From the cavernous, empty ballroom to the hedge maze's snaking tendrils, which did not exist in the actual hotel but fuck, it mirrored the labyrinthine nature of the human mind caught in the grip of insanity. The twins, though a Kubrick addition, could very well be imagined flitting through the vacant halls of Stanley, their silences as chilling as their synchrony. The isolation of the Stanley Hotel pierced the veil between reality and fantasy, enabling King to explore the deep-seated fear of being cut off, not just from society, but from one's own ties to sanity. Fuck, it's a feeling that tingles at the base of our skulls, the fear that one day, we'll look in the mirror and the eyes staring back won't be our own. As King pounded out the pages of his emerging novel, the Stanley Hotel's haunted history whispered to him from the very walls, its legacy of ghostly encounters both inspiring and validating his growing narrative. The ambiance of the hotel is a character in its own right, a constant, oppressive presence that weighed on the Chesters as much as the Overlook's unseen inhabitants haunted its fictional guests. By the shitstorm of an ending, with its haunting, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, King had expelled the nightmare from his mind onto the paper. The stay at Stanley, supposed to be a one-night stand with fate, turned into a consummation of his darkest fears and highest triumphs. It's through this lens that we can examine the pages of The Shining, seeing not just the specters of King's imagination, but the echoes of Room 217, the sentinel-like Rockies, and the Stanley Hotel's chilling embrace, a muse dressed in Edwardian architecture and ghost stories. King might have checked out of the Stanley, but the Stanley never truly left him, motherfuckers. It lingered in his thoughts, a bittersweet muse with a penchant for the macabre. His stay at the Stanley was not just a chapter in his life but the genesis of a horror legacy, the indelible mark of a writer touched by the spectral beauty of a hotel that knew too damn well the power of its own myths. With The Shining, King not only raised the bar for horror, he also cast a spotlight on the Stanley Hotel, immortalizing its haunting allure forever in literary history. The pages may turn and the years may pass, but the Stanley's ghostly heart beats on, an eternally binding force that ties King's fateful stay to the nightmares that stalk our dreams, elevating the terror to a chilling sonnet for the damned. The Stanley Hotel's eerie walls, if they could talk, would tell a tale that's fucking soaked in pop cultural ink, thanks to one particularly cold and ghost-ridden night in 1974, when Stephen King conjured up The Shining. Now, this old-as-shit mountain lodger has become a neat package of architectural glory and a freaky sauce of supernatural fame. Casting a goddamn long shadow over horror fans and wide-eyed tourists alike, the Stanley's prominence rises like a full moon in the fucking night sky of popular culture. From the moment King's fingers danced over that typewriter, giving birth to Jack Torrance's descent into madness, the Stanley has been more than just an opulent hotel, it has been the unsung character in a narrative that makes your skin crawl. And let's be real, the image of Jack Nicholson axing through a door doesn't just vanish like a fart in the wind, it's stamped in our twisted psyche for good. The Stanley Hotel clawed its way out of obscurity thanks to The Shining, like a demon punching through your chest in a nightmare. Its resurgent popularity began with literature freaks and horror aficionados hoping to catch a whiff of the same haunted air that inspired King. But shit, it didn't stop there. As the novel snaked its way into Hollywood, the hotel embraced a new spotlight, the big motherfucking screen. Now, if Kubrick's rendition made you piss your pants, imagine walking the same goddamn corridors in real life. That's what the Stanley offers. Picture this fucked up but awesome scenario. Travelers prance through the hotel, iPhones out, Snapchatting spectral hazes or eerie silences in hopes of capturing paranormal roomies peeping from behind heavy drapes. The creep factor is real, and damn, you thrill seekers love it. Thanks to its literary and cinematic ties, the Stanley has graced other media too. It's got a delightfully terrifying twist in shows like Supernatural and Ghosts of America. And that's just the tip of the spectral iceberg. Documentaries and paranormal investigations seek to unlock the goddamn secrets lurking in its shadows, and let's not forget how it served as the muse for ghost-stuffed episodes in series like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. These shows milk the hotel's legends like a haunted cash cow. Even the gamers and geeks get a piece of the action. Motherfuckin', video games like The Shining escape from the Overlook Hotel thrust players into King's twisted world, each corner of the gameplay riddled with nods to the Stanley's infamous reputation. It's a never-ending cycle of art feeding off reality, fueling a glorious clusterfuck of fan theories, and keeping the cash registers ringing like the bellowing chimes of ghostly apparitions. And what's a legacy without merch, right? Swing by the gift shop, and there's a shit ton of Shining-inspired paraphernalia from mugs, tees, posters, and hell, even axes. The Stanley's aura has been commoditized, stitched into the very fabric of horror culture, wearing the badge of inspiration, like an invisible crown. On the Real World Clock, the annual Shining Ball, and Horror Film Fest convert this tranquil mountain retreat into a ghoulish freak fest. And the irony is thicker than blood, a place once built for the upper crust now courts the macabre enthusiasts, morphing its grand past into a contemporary haunt for those who come to sip on the heady cocktail of fear and fascination. The Stanley Hotel leapt from local fame to worldwide notoriety, clutching tightly Stephen King's vision, which itself has become a whole fucking universe with its own life force, pulling us back to Room 217's door like doomed moths to a flame. Its popularity bleeds across the decades, ensuring that as long as fear is fashionable, the Stanley Hotel remains a fucked up temple in the church of popular culture, canonized by a book, a movie, and an endless stream of ghost hunters waiting to snag their own ghost story. If you're one of those brave souls who finds themselves tantalized by tales of the paranormal, pull up a chair and lend an ear. Shit's about to get spectral at one of America's most haunted estates, the Stanley Hotel. This grand damn place isn't just some Hill House bullshit, it's a legendary lair of lingering spirits, and damn right, we're gonna dig into its gritty ghostly tales. Now, park your butts and steady your nerves, folks have been encountering freaky-ass specters here for over a century. We're talking shit that'll chill you to the bone, from the top floors down to the goddamn foundation. Let's start with Elizabeth Wilson, or as she's infamously known, the Phantom of Room 217. This place is no fairy tale suite. You check in and the air gets heavy, the shadows start dancing. Miss Wilson, the head housekeeper back in the early 1900s, had an unfortunate run-in with an exploding gas lantern. It blew her through the fucking flooring, yet miraculously, she survived. But some say she never checked out. No way, she's still there, tucking guests into their twisted sheets, breaking the balls of unmarried couples, and giving folks the heebie-jeebies with her icy antics. Guests have reported their shit being moved around, lights flipping on and off, and eerie fucking chills, with no one in sight. But hold the fuck on, it's not just Room 217 that's jacked with jack-o'-lantern vibes. The entire fourth floor is like a goddamn spectral playground. Little ghost kitties laughing, running up and down the halls, giggling, and shit, buying for the title of creepiest Muppet. Employees and guests alike talk about hearing these pint-sized apparitions having the time of their afterlives up there. And don't get me started on the main staircase, where specters of all sorts strut their ghostly asses. Visitors get a peek-a-boo with these high-collared mofos who vanish quicker than a rabbit in a magic act. Then there's the piano in the music room. Sometimes this fancy-ass piece of woodwork tickles its own ivories. The ghost of Flora Stanley herself, Freeland's wife, is said to be busting out her spectral sonatas, displaying her undying love for music and fucking with the minds of the living. Let's scoot over to the old underground tunnels, shall we? Workers have experienced the hair-raising sensation of someone breathing down their necks, only to spin around and find, jack shit. No one, and hot damn, this eerie-ass vibe extends all the way to the bar. Yep, people knocking back their shots have reported a ghost damn bartender who pours himself a drink. When's the last time a spirit served you spirits at your local dive? The library isn't safe either, cause nothing says horror like reading a ghost story and sensing someone peering over your fucking shoulder, and no, it's not your buddy pranking your ass. It's Lucy, yep, the spirit of a young woman, rumored to be a runaway or a homeless person who sought refuge here and then just stuck around post-mortem. So much for, shish, in the library, right? But seriously, the anecdotes unleashed by the Stanley's walls, let me tell you, they're a historian's wet dream and a regular person's nightmare. You don't just stay at the Stanley Hotel, you experience it, its stories clawing into your skin like demonic fingertips, begging you to believe, to bear witness to their undying existence. Every creak, every shiver, every fleeting shadow, these fucked up encounters beg the question, are we alone? Or are the dead kicking back with us, just unseen to our pussy ass, living eyes? And if listening to this is making your spine tingle or maybe gives your balls a shiver, good. That means you're fucking ready for the rest of our dark journey through the Horror Report. Stay with us if you dare, because next, we're plunging balls deep into the cultural phenomenon birthed by Stephen King's Shaking Hands, a little story you might have heard of, the motherfucking Shining. The cultural impact of Stephen King's masterpiece, The Shining, pierces through the veil of just being another book on the shelf or a film in the theaters. It fucking transcended the genre, carving out a permanent place in the creepy-ass heart of American culture. First, let's talk about the novel. When that shit hit the stands back in 1977, it didn't just creep people the fuck out, it seized horror by the balls and didn't let go. Critics were clawing over each other to get a piece of King's twisted mind, shedding light on the profound psychological and supernatural layers packed within the pages. It wasn't just a ghost story. No, it was a slow, deeply unnerving burn about a man's descent into madness and a family's struggle against insidious, unseen forces. Libraries and book clubs were abuzz, mothers were hiding it from their kids, and horror junkies were getting their fix of genuinely disturbing shit that kept them up at night. And let's not gloss over the symbolic elements. The Overlook Hotel is a character in its own right, mirroring Jack Torrance's fractured psyche and embodying the fucked up history we'd rather flush down the memory toilet. Now, fast forward a few years to Stanley Kubrick's film adaptation. This was a whole different kind of mindfuck. Some King purists thought it was sacrilege. Kubrick twisted the knife in his own way, deviating from the source material and delivering a visual horror feast that had cinephiles and casual viewers alike shitting bricks. From the blood title waving out of the elevator to the, here's Johnny, scene that still gets parody to this fucking day, Kubrick's, The Shining, left an indelible mark on the collective consciousness. Let's take a second to appreciate Jack Nicholson's portrayal of Jack Torrance, shall we? The guy took, fucked up, to a new level, with that unhinged grin and axe-swinging persona. His performance wasn't just a portrayal of terror, it was the embodiment of anyone's darkest impulses given the keys to a haunted fuck palace in the mountains. The Shining, as a novel and film, lit a fire under the horror genre's ass. It's not only referenced, revered, and ripped off, it became a cornerstone of pop culture dialogue. From hip-ass memes and fashion lines flaunting the iconic imagery to video games and haunted attractions, The Shining claimed its throne at the top of horror royalty and didn't give a single fuck about being subdued or conforming to tropes. Now, when you talk about interpretations, buckle the fuck up because this train's got no brakes. Academics, film students, horror enthusiasts, and conspiracy nutjobs have cooked up every theory under the sun, from the film being an allegory for the genocide of Native Americans to it representing the realization of man's deepest existential fears. Hell, there are people convinced that Kubrick used the film to confess his involvement in faking the moon landing. That's the level of crazy this masterpiece stirs up. The legacy of The Shining isn't just in its direct influence on horror titles that followed, it's the standard it set. Subsequent horror had to compete with King's sharp-as-fuck storytelling and Kubrick's visual mind grenades. It took the haunted house trope and blasted it into the stratosphere with a sledgehammer. Its significance lies in its ability to force us to confront the uncomfortable, our own capacity for violence, isolation, and madness, all wrapped in a ghostly package. The novel's critical acclaim, coupled with the film's powerful cinematic techniques, turned The Shining into a fucking juggernaut of culture, education, and entertainment. From essayists deconstructing its themes to Halloween costumes mimicking its iconic moments, The Shining has touched every corner of society and refuses to let go. This shit wasn't just a ghost story for a long winter's night. It was a mirror reflecting our fears back at us with a clarity that was, quite frankly, terrifying. It's the kind of story that crawls under your skin, gets cozy, and resides there, whispering reminders of the horrors that lurk in the human mind and beyond. Stephen King and Stanley Kubrick, each in their own right, created a touchstone of terror that's just as potent and relevant today as it was the day those frightful images and words first emerged from the depths of their legendary imaginations. Imagine stepping into a world where the past and present collide, where the veil between our world and the spectral one seems to be just a tad thinner. The Stanley Hotel, standing regal and proud in Estes Park, Colorado, doesn't just rest on the laurels of its chilling heritage, it fucking revels in it. The hotel that seduced horror maestro Stephen King into penning The Shining now draws guests from all corners, hungry for a taste of the supernatural. Today's Stanley Hotel has mastered the art of exploiting its haunted reputation, transforming it from a historical landmark into a macabre mecca for ghost hunters and thrill seekers alike. From the moment you enter its grandiose lobby, you are stepping into a meticulously crafted atmosphere resembling a scene straight out of a horror flick. It feeds off its infamy, not shying away from the ghostly whispers that echo through the halls but amplifying them shitloads. On any given day, the Stanley isn't just a hotel. It's a stage for a perpetual show of eerie events designed to send shivers down the spine of even the bravest souls. The lineup is as varied as it is enthralling, from murder mystery dinners that will have you questioning the intentions of the actor next to you to paranormal investigation tours led by seasoned experts with more ghost stories than you can shake a fucking EMF meter at. Let's get real about these ghost tours. They aren't some half-assed stroll with a flashlight. They are immersive experiences, meticulously crafted to immerse you in the shadowy tales that shroud the Stanley. Guides delve into the hotel's history, recounting stories of long-dead guests who apparently loved their stay so much that they never cared to leave, quite literally. Through pitch-black corridors and possibly haunted rooms, including the infamous Room 217, participants seek to connect with the unknown. And it's not just about the dead. The Stanley Hotel has embraced its role in cinematic and literary history with unapologetic pride. Shit. They even host the Shining Ball every year, an extravagant bash where guests don costumes inspired by King's macabre universe and dance the night away, while keeping one eye open for creepy twins or a certain decomposing woman. If you've got the cash and the balls, you can even book a stay in one of the several haunted rooms, including the one that freaked the hell out of Stephen King himself. Sure, the price tag for these rooms might make your wallet weep, but they offer a uniquely chilling experience that you can't get just anywhere. It's like paying for a front row seat to a paranormal performance that's been running longer than any Broadway show. Yet, the Stanley is no one-trick pony. Beyond the ghostly gimmicks and twisted tours, it continues to operate as a fully functional hotel with all the fucking amenities you'd expect. The fusion of modern luxury with gothic ambiance makes for an exceptional experience, whether you're there to encounter the paranormal or just to enjoy a peaceful retreat, though let's be real, you're probably there for the ghosts. Furthermore, the Stanley harnesses the digital age like a pro, enticing a global audience through its formidable online presence. They showcase guest experiences and spectral evidence on their social media, connecting with a community of horror and supernatural buffs while drawing more curious souls to their haunted haven. As night blankets the Rocky Mountains, the hotel's facade lights up, casting an ominous yet alluring glow that beckons guests from their cozy beds to explore the hallways and perhaps, just maybe, have a run-in with the other side. In the crisp mountain air, the sense of anticipation is tangible. You never know what might happen next. Whether it's the chilling breeze that makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up or it's just the air conditioning, you have to admit, the Stanley Hotel has carved out a unique niche for itself. It celebrates and capitalizes on its dark lore, proving that a place notorious for fear can also be a fucking goldmine of entertainment. It stands as a testament to the fact that we love to be scared shitless, and there's no better place to indulge that macabre desire than at the Stanley Hotel today. As we near the end of our journey through the chilling corridors and grand, echoing halls of the Stanley Hotel, it's impossible not to feel the weight of history and horror that permeates the very air we breathe. This enigmatic establishment, nestled in the rugged wilderness of Colorado, has become much more than a mere landmark. It's a fucking icon of the supernatural, a wellspring of nightmares that fuels our darkest fantasies and leaves us questioning the nature of reality itself. The Stanley Hotel's allure is as undeniable as it is mysterious. Since its founding, it has stood as a testament to human ambition, crafted from the earth itself, and yet, it somehow reaches into the ethereal realms where spirits are said to wander. Its monumental impact on Stephen King's The Shining is not just a footnote in literary history, it's a fucking game changer for the horror genre. This grand hotel has, over the years, cemented its reputation as the quintessential haunted locale, a place where the veil between life and death seems worn thin as hell, allowing us to peer, if only for a moment, into the unknown. Stories of ghostly children giggling in the halls, phantom pianos playing in the dead of night, and the infamous specter of Elizabeth Wilson in room 217 give the Stanley a fucking gripping narrative that enthralls both skeptics and believers alike. It's in these halls that reality and legend intertwine in a seductive dance. What's truth and what's fiction becomes blurred when guests recount their brushes with the paranormal, when echoes of the past ripple forward into the present, making your skin crawl and your heart skip a beat. The Stanley's power lies in its ability to cast doubt, to make you second-guess what you know, what you've seen, and the motherfucking ground beneath your feet. In Stephen King's masterpiece, the Overlook Hotel stands as a malevolent character in its own right, a place where human weaknesses are amplified and inner demons manifest into a terrifying reality. But it's the Stanley, the real-life muse for this horror, which reminds us of the power of place, the importance of setting and cultivating an atmosphere ripe for terror. Through King's vision, the Stanley Hotel transcends mere geography. It becomes a realm where the psyche unwinds and the darkest parts of the human condition are laid bare. Our foray into the storied past and ghostly presence of the Stanley Hotel isn't just a romp in the macabre. It's a fucking contemplation of the inexplicable, a challenge to our understanding of the world around us. After all, isn't the essence of horror rooted in the unknown, in the things that lurk just out of sight, the whispers that you can't quite catch? As we leave the Stanley Hotel behind, we carry with us the echoes of its past, the lives that have swept through its rooms like so many whispers in the wind. It is a rich tapestry of fact and fiction, melded together to form a story so compelling, so fucking terrifying, that one cannot help but be consumed by its narrative. So, my fellow horror enthusiasts, as we conclude this descent into the spectral soul of the Stanley Hotel, we must ask ourselves, where does the truth end and the legend begin? Perhaps the true terror lies not in the ghost stories and not in the blood-stained pages of a horror novel, but in the realization that, at any moment, the fabric of our reality could tear, revealing a world that is stranger and more unfathomable than our wildest fucking nightmares. Thank you for joining us on this twisted and enlightening journey through the corridors of horror history. We're left wondering, pondering, and maybe just a little bit more wary of the shadows, where the line between the living and the dead, the real and the surreal, isn't just blurred, but absolutely motherfucking obliterated. Ladies and gentlemen, as we draw this episode to a close, it's time to get a little misty-eyed and fucking grateful. We've delved deeply into the chilling secrets of the Stanley Hotel, and none of this would be possible without a troop of brilliant motherfuckers who've guided us through every creak in the floorboard and every sinister whisper in the wind. First off, hats off to the historians who've dug through cobwebbed archives and endured more dust than a goddamn mummy to bring us the facts. These relentless folks have given us the juicy backstory to the legends, their efforts shedding light like a flashlight that cuts through the darkest night. You're the real MVPs, you history-hunting badasses. The paranormal experts, how can we forget these brave souls? You're the freaking Ghostbusters of the real world, chasing down the stories others are too chicken shit to touch. You've brought credibility to table-rattling tales and offered insights into the unexplained phenomena that gave this iconic place its eerie reputation. A toast to you for your unwavering dedication to uncovering truths that send shivers down our spines. If bravery had a face, it would look a lot like these spectral investigators. Now, special thanks must go to the staff and guests at the Stanley Hotel who shared their stories, personal experiences that sent chills up our spines and make our hairs stand on end. Thank you for opening up and spilling the gory details about shit that most wouldn't believe if they didn't hear it from the horse's mouth. Your encounters help keep the haunting legacy alive, each tale a new thread in the hotel's rich tapestry of terror. And how could we do any of this without mentioning the Stanley Hotel itself? A massive thank you to the building that's more than bricks and mortar, a place that breathes stories, history, and possibly the icy breath of the otherworldly down your neck. Thanks for scaring the living shit out of us and embracing your spooky-ass status as a haunted landmark. A powerhouse of appreciation goes out to our production team, editors, sound engineers, and the poor interns who've probably aged a decade while pulling this terrifying treat together. You deal with more jump scares on a daily basis than a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Your dedication helps turn these freaky tales into something even your badass granny wouldn't listen to alone. And you, yes, you fucking awesome listeners tuning in and keeping our community alive, you guys are the diehard fans we do this for. You're the ones we picture when we're conjuring up these horror stories from the depths of hellish history. So keep sharing, commenting, and getting involved. Remember to hashtag the horror report because without your blood-curdling support, we'd just be howling into the void. You can also connect with us on social media, drop us a like, a follow, or some demonic scrawlings on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Keep the conversation going, Start a thread about which part of today's episode made you check under your bed tonight, or share your own paranormal experiences. We can't wait to hear from every cursed one of you. So, before I peace out, let me remind you, it's the collective effort of all these fabulous fucks that make this show what it is, a veritable feast for freaks like you and me. Thanks for getting down and dirty with the macabre, the ghosts, the unexplained, and the downright mysterious. Catch you next time, if you've got the guts, for another twisted adventure into the unknown. This is the Horror Report, signing off with one last eerie echo. Stay spooky, fellow ghouls.